Now the epistle for the fifth Sunday after Easter is taken from the epistle of St. James, the first chapter. Dearly beloved, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he shall be compared to a man beholding his own countenance in a glass. For he beheld himself and went his way, and presently forgot what manner of man he was. But he that hath looked into the perfect law of liberty, and hath continued therein, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed and blessed in his deed. And if any man think himself to be religious, not bridling his tongue, but deceiving his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Religion, clean and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their tribulation, and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. And the Holy Gospel. Let's take from the Gospel of St. John, the 16th chapter. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in Proverbs. The hour cometh when I will no more speak to you in Proverbs, but will show you plainly of the Father. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not to you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and I go to the Father." His disciples say to him, "Behold, now thou speakest plainly and speakest no proverb. Now we know that thou knowest all things, and thou needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it you. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the summer of 1683, Vienna stood like a lone candle flickering in the dark, a candle surrounded by shadows, and its flame threatened by winds and a storm of unimaginable force. All around the great city stretched a sea of enemy tents. 150,000 Ottoman soldiers camped in rows upon rows that waved in the breeze and reflected white under the sun. During those days of siege, the thud of drums, the clang of steel, and the wails of wounded soldiers echoed in the ears of the men day and night. The defenders inside Vienna were starving, and their walls were cracking, and their hope was fading away. Inside the besieged city, the churches were full not of panic, but they were full of prayer. Urgent prayer. Men and women knelt shoulder to shoulder before the tabernacle, men still having their swords on their side, and men and women having their children under their arms. All the people were praying to our Lord, clutching their rosaries with trembling fingers, begging heaven to send help. The old men wept, and even the children were fasting. And collectively, in all the streets of Vienna, came a long stream of processions and supplications and prayers. And far to the north, a king was praying at the same time. John Sobieski, the sovereign of Poland, knew this was not merely a military emergency, it was a spiritual war going on. He gathered his famed cavalry, the Winged Hussars, whose armor gleamed like burnished gold, and whose tall, feathered wings caught the wind like sails in divine power. But their true weapons were not sabers and swords and lances. They were rosaries, crucifixes, and the Holy Mass. Sobieski and his men rode hard through the mountain passes down from Poland, their horses' breath steaming in the crisp morning air on the edge of the Carpathian Mountains, the hooves of their horses striking stone like hammer on anvil on their way. And at dawn on September 12th, he halted his troops atop the Kahlenberg Hill right side outside of Vienna. And there, before the most important battle of his life, he knelt to attend the holy sacrifice of the Mass. He placed his army under the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen of Heaven. And during the Mass, the Sacred Host was lifted high against the rising sun in the east. And soon after, the charge began. Like a thunderstorm descending from the heavens, 12,000 Polish cavalry swept down the slopes, sabers drawn, wings whistling in the wind. The Polish strode and slashed through the ranks of the now panicking Ottoman. The Ottomans started to flee, and at the same time, the soldiers and men inside Vienna hurriedly gathered strength and weapons and rode out of their fortress of Vienna against the Turks. And thus the enemy broke. They were destroyed. And thus 12,000 cavalry and a number of soldiers from inside Vienna conquered and destroyed and put to flight 150,000 Ottoman Turks. Vienna was saved and Christendom survived. Sobieski wrote to Pope Innocent XI four Latin words that summed up the whole encounter: Venimus, Vidimus, Deus Vicit. We came, we saw, and God conquered. Now, my dear faithful, this summary, these four Latin words, are the summary of a lesson from today's gospel as well. In today's gospel, our Lord offers a promise, astounding in its simplicity. Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it you. And he repeats this promise and commands three times, ask, knock. He says, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These are not the words of a distant deity that created us in the beginning of time and then walked away. These are the words of a Savior speaking to his children and his dear friends. Christ is also not suggesting. He's not just advising. He is commanding us. Ask, petition the Father, come to him in my name. What are we doing not asking then? He tells us to ask, to knock, and he wants us to express our needs to him. And this is the foundation of all fruitful prayer, confidence in Christ. We do not go before God as beggars unknown, beggars hoping just to be heard. We go as beloved children, carrying the name of Jesus upon our lips and in our hearts. To pray in his name, as the gospel speaks of, to pray in his name does not mean merely adding the phrase "in Jesus' name" to the end of a prayer. It means praying in union with Christ, his will, his love, and his desire for the salvation of our souls. To ask in his name means we ask the Father with the same trust that the Son had in Gethsemane, that union between the different persons of the Blessed Trinity. We ask for things that align with the will of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, good things, actually good things, saving things, and things that he would want for us. We ask not with pride or presumption, but with the humility and love of a soul who knows it can do nothing without his grace. As Saint Augustine wisely says, he prays in the name of Jesus, he who prays for what Jesus would approve. If it's already our Lord's will, then we almost already have our prayer answered as long as we ask. And when we do this, when we ask rightly, boldly, and persistently, our prayer becomes powerful. Not because of who we are, our credentials, but because of whose name we bear. So then, my dear faithful, let us do four things. Let us pray boldly. Don't hesitate to ask God even for big things. Conversion of a loved one, health, vocations, which we need very much, with how many missions we have throughout the country, and how few laborers there are in our Lord's vineyard. Conversion, health, vocations, peace, and holiness in this world that is submerged in sin. Nothing is too great for God, and thus nothing is too great or too big for our prayers. Secondly, pray rightly. Examine your intentions. Are you asking for the good of your soul or just for our temporal and worldly comfort and ease? God is a Father, and he gives us what we need. He does not always give us all we say we want because he is a loving and good Father who knows better than that. Thirdly, pray persistently and constantly. Do not grow discouraged if the answer seems to be delayed, or if our Lord seems to want to have us continue praying before he grants it. Many graces are won only by perseverance. And finally, and fourthly, pray with our Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven, as it is still the month of May, her month. Just as Sobieski entrusted his army to her, so must we entrust all our petitions to her maternal intercession. She knows how to present them to our King. No one is too poor, too sinful, or too small to pray. The devil fears the soul that prays well. A parent whispering the rosary for their child, that parent does more for the church than 1,000 speeches or organizations. A religious who kneels before the Blessed Sacrament, our Lord in the tabernacle, with nothing but a breviary or the divine office, is mightier than all the worldly, charitable foundations busying with their affairs and money. And I would like to leave you with a final image. Imagine, if you will, a great battlefield, not in Austria at Vienna, but in an invisible realm of grace. There are no cannonballs in heaven, no cavalry charges of swords. There are just souls to be saved. Souls wandering, wounded, confused, in ignorance and in error, all around us, and perhaps ourselves as well. We have wounds and we wander sometimes. Some teetering on the edge of eternal ruin, of temptations perhaps. This is the spiritual battlefield. And then kneeling, let us also picture kneeling in a darkened chapel. An old woman lifts her rosary up. A seminarian or a sister bows their head before the Blessed Sacrament. A child in their innocence makes a simple morning offering after rolling out of bed. A priest raises the chalice at the altar during the Mass. Suddenly, with these prayers, a power floods into the world, not of men, but of God, God's power. Grace rushes into the earth. Chains are broken, and perhaps a soul returns to confession. A hardened sinner whispers, "I am sorry, Lord. I'm coming back. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." That is our spiritual battle. In this world of darkness, we should see just a globe of all these souls, each soul being a light with sanctifying grace. And in this darkness, with our prayers ascending to heaven, only by those prayers do the graces come down and merits are coming to these souls. And thus the angels rejoice, the demons weep and flee, and the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary are elated. Thus, that is the spiritual battle we should think of every day, and that is where we want to say and be able to hear Venimus, Vidimus, Deus Vicit. We came in prayer, we saw and we believed in faith, and God conquered again. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.